Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned this too, is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, more knowledge, more grief. This passage comes from King Solomon, a man gifted with extraordinary wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he looks back on all that he has learned and admits that knowledge on its own can be a heavy burden, and it can show us how complicated life really is, but not always how to fix it. A few years back, I was standing outside and I noticed the faucet coming out of the house dripping. And so I said to myself, how hard can this be? I'll just get my wrench and I'll just tighten her up a little. I had a wrench and I had a plan and I had confidence. Well, Nancy had just gotten in the car and was pulling out, going to the grocery store. And by the time she got back, I was standing out in the yard with about a 10 or 12 foot length of galvanized pipe in my hand, soaking wet. And I'd somehow managed to pull the pipe out of the house, which made a real interesting project to put it back in. But anyway, Nancy just kind of stood there and looked at me with that look, you know, the look that she gives me when she's thinking, I love you, but what the heck were you thinking? In that moment, something clicked. I realized that going into the project, I had a plan. I had a tool, but I lacked the wisdom to stop and think about what I should be doing when things start going wrong. Here's the thing. Wisdom and overconfidence look a lot alike, right up until the time something goes terribly wrong. Overconfidence says, I've got this. Wisdom says, hold up. Maybe I ought to slow down just a little and remember all the problems that you've caused the last time you tried to be a plumber. You see, overconfidence rushes in. Wisdom stops and takes a breath. Overconfidence trusts in its own instinct. Wisdom knows there's always more to learn. That day I got a lot wetter than I had planned. But I think I also walked away with a little more humility and possibly a little better understanding of what the writers of Proverbs 11 meant when he said, "With pride, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." So now, whenever I hear myself saying something like, well, how hard could that be? I look around and make sure Nancy's somewhere close in case I need adult supervision while it's going on. You know, we live in an age that has more knowledge now than any time in history. Think about it. You can ask your telephone questions like, how many llamas live in Argentina? Or how do I fix the rattle in my washing machine? And you can get an answer in seconds. In a single morning, you can plan a trip, get a recipe for enchiladas, do your taxes, buy a new pair of shoes, and still have time to go for a nice walk. But even with all this information, with all of the data and the knowledge that it takes to create all that technology, I wonder sometimes, are we any wiser for it? You know, in Paul's day, the Corinthians prided themselves on their knowledge. They loved debating Plato and Aristotle, and they were greatly impressed by orators who could sway a crowd. But Paul came then and pointed them away from human wisdom to something far greater, the wisdom of God revealed in Christ. Today, we face all of the same struggles: anxiety, division, anger, violence. Paul's words remain painfully relevant. He said, "Where is the wise? Where is the scholar? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" The world has figured out how to split atoms and map the stars, but we still don't know how to love our neighbor or quiet our anxious hearts. And that's what God is showing us. The wisdom we really need doesn't come from textbooks or headlines, but from Him. Or as the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." Now, you may ask, what does all this have to do with First Christian Church Grand Junction? Well, as part of our planning for the future of this church, we've come up with a group that we're calling the Vision to Action Team. And I think working with the congregation now, we've come up with a pretty good vision of where we think we'd like to go. But the question now becomes, how? How are we going to do that? We've talked the talk. Now we've got to think about walking the walk. Proverbs chapter 9 gives us a starting point. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." That verse needs to be like a compass to us as we do our plans and try to implement them. It tells us that if we want to be wise, not just smart, but successful, but truly wise, we've got to start with God. As our mission statement tells us, the first thing that we do is reach up to God. But what about that word fear? Fear of the Lord. That one can kind of trip us up a little. When we hear the word fear, we might think of being scared, or we might think of a nightmare, or suddenly meeting a stranger in a dark parking lot. But that's not what the verse means. The Greeks in the Greek Bible use the word phobos. In Hebrew, the word was yirah. The meaning of both includes feeling of profound reverence and awe. Fearing the Lord does not mean living in terror that God is going to get mad and do something to punish you if you get something wrong. It means awe. It means reverence. It means recognizing that God is God and you are not. It's like standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon or looking up at the Milky Way on a dark night. Suddenly you feel really small, not in a bad way, but in an awesome and holy way. You feel humbled as you realize once again you are in the presence of something greater than you. And in that moment, you don't need to understand everything. You just need to bow your head. Wisdom begins when we finally stop trying to be in charge and start trusting the one who already is. It's the fear you feel when you suddenly realize you're in the presence of something vast, something holy, something utterly beyond your comprehension. It's the awe that makes you fall quiet. It's the reverence that bends the knee. It's the deep down, soul level awareness that you are in the presence of God. When we fear the Lord in that way, it changes how we live. It changes how we speak. It changes how we treat others and how we will make decisions about the future of this church. As we make our plans, We must keep a burning desire to please God in the front of our mind throughout the discussion and ask over and over again, how will this help us fulfill the Great Commission? It's not about crafting just the right words or putting all of our ideas on posters and sticking them up on walls, although these things can be very helpful. It's about coming away from the process with a burning desire to find new ways to serve God and then trusting in Him that they will come so true. The verse says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom, not the middle and not the end. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, for I know I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We know wisdom doesn't start by reading 1,000 books, watching 1,000 YouTube videos, or getting a college degree. It starts with a humble heart before God. You might say that wisdom is the path and the fear of the Lord is the gate that you walk through to get on that path. And here's something I'm beginning to learn. You can be nearly 80 years old and still growing in wisdom. And conversely, you can be 20 years old and think you know everything until life humbles you. Wisdom is less about how much you know, but about who you're listening to. When you start listening to God, really listening, things begin to change. You slow down before making decisions. You consider what's right, not just what's easy. You stop trying to win every argument, and you start asking, how can I show love in this moment? You stop saying, what do I want? And start asking, what does God want for me? Or in the case of First Christian Church, Grand Junction, as we make our plans, we remember it's not what we want, but what God wants for us. That's wisdom, and it all starts with fearing the Lord. The second part of that verse reads, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, you can know a lot about God without ever actually knowing God. That's an easy trap to fall into. I know that's something that I struggle with. Reading books and Bible studies and moving sermons are all great, but they're only great if they help you to know the Lord in a real and intimate way. Our relationship with Him must change the way we think and act. Just being able to quote the Bible and because we do good works is not quite enough. We know this because Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 2. He said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Knowing the Holy One means walking with God. It means sitting with Him in prayer. It means trusting Him when you don't understand what He's doing. Again and again, I've discovered that people who know God deeply are not usually the ones who are talking the most or the loudest to make their point. They're the ones who carry peace in their heart. They're the ones who can say, it is well with my soul, even when life is not well. They don't just know about God, they know God. And when you know Him, your whole understanding shifts. You start seeing people differently, not as adversaries, but as fellow souls that God loves. You start seeing your daily activities not just as a necessity, but a place to serve. You start seeing pain differently, not just as something to escape, but as something God can use. That's understanding, and it doesn't come from textbooks, and it doesn't come from YouTube videos. It comes from walking with the Holy One. In every church, there always seems to be someone who embodies that quiet wisdom. It's not always the ones in the spotlight. Sometimes it's the woman who slips in before the service and just prays silently. Sometimes it's a man that's lost more than most of us and still shows up with faith in his eyes. Most of us will remember Harold Moss. I love using Harold Moss as an example. In just a relatively short period of time, his son was killed in a horrible airplane crash. He lost Ruth, his wife of 71 years, and he was the victim of a Ponzi scheme, lost a ton of money. Yet, through it all, he was here every single Sunday saying, "God has been good to me." That's not the kind of thing you say when you've had an easy life. That's the kind of thing you say when you've walked through fire and you've discovered that God was walking with you. That's wisdom. That's knowing the Holy One. So let's make this practical. If you're in a season of confusion where you're unsure what to do next, start with God. If you're facing a hard decision, start with God. If you're watching the news and feeling overwhelmed by the chaos of the world, and you don't know who to believe, start with God. Get quiet, get honest, and ask God for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault." He's not holding it back. He's not hiding it behind some complicated formula. He's just waiting for us to humble ourselves and ask. Now, here's a question for you. When you wake up in the morning, when you first open your eyes, whose voice are you listening to? Lately, Nancy and I have been talking about putting a new roof on the house. And as usual, I've succumbed to what is referred to as analysis paralysis. So lately, I find myself waking up thinking about the project. Do I want to go with the cheapest bid? Do I know enough to trust the roofer that I'm talking to? Should I get more positive reviews online? What brand of shingles should I use? What color shingles? Decisions, decisions, decisions. I wake up thinking, roofing. It's only later that I stop and think to ask God. Not to ask God what roofer I should use or what color shingles I should use, but to give me wisdom. Wisdom to begin my day with a desire to please Him first and the assurance that if I do, everything else will be as it should. It's good to periodically ask yourself, are you filling your heart with noise or are you making space for the voice of God? As we make plans for our church, are we letting the fear of the Lord guide our steps or are we leaning too much on our own understanding? Because here's the truth. Wisdom doesn't shout, it whispers. And if we're too busy, too distracted, too proud, we might miss it. But if we pause, if we reverence Him, if we know the Holy One, then we'll start to understand. We'll start to see the world not just as it is, but as God sees it. So here we are, First Christian Church. We have plans to make, decisions to consider, questions we can't fully answer yet. But the good news is God isn't asking us to come with perfect knowledge. He's simply inviting us to come. Not with confidence, not with pride, but with reverence and trust. Because of Jesus, we can come. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 reminds us, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need." That's where wisdom begins. That's where peace begins. That's where our future begins. Not because we have all the answers, but because we know the one who does. So as we keep talking and planning for the future of the church, we just need to remember where wisdom starts. Not with having every answer, but with trusting God to lead us. Planning can only take us so far. And at some point, with God's help, we'll need to take the next step to move from conversation to action, from vision to action. And as long as we stay focused, honoring Him, we can trust that He'll guide us through whatever comes next. But first, we have to stay quiet long enough to hear Him, because wisdom doesn't shout, wisdom whispers. Please pray with me. Lord, we admit today that we often chase knowledge and overlook wisdom. We make plans, we follow opinions, we try to fix things ourselves, when all along you've been inviting us to sit at your feet. Help us fear you, Lord, not with dread, but with reverence. Help us to know you, not just the facts, but deeply, intimately. Teach us your ways. Make us wise in a world that's full of confusion. When we walk away from here this morning, let something inside us shift with the confidence that your Spirit is whispering to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.